thank you, Heavenly Father, that your word promises that one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is indeed the Lord. He who is both Lion and Lamb will one day have the worship of all creation. And we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in your grace, that in these moments we snatch together, we can anticipate in some small way what we will all experience on that great day to come. And we pray that today you would speak to us, you'd encourage us, you'd minister to us by your Spirit, and you'd equip us to go back as your people to the places where we work. And we ask all this, Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. How wonderful to see you. Welcome, St. Mary's, and thank you for coming when the sun is shining and you could have sat and just basked in our unaccustomed good weather. So it's great to see you, and thank you, Chris and Hannah, for leading us in worship. At the back, there are these adverts for Glory Mile, an evening of worship and prayer and ministry. It's going to be a great evening on the evening of June the 16th, 6 to 8, at St. Margaret's, which is just behind the Bank of England, the other side of the Bank of England. Great team. I'm allowed to say the welcome, but there will be a great talk from Pete Cart, who is Vicar of North Kent Community Church. Rob Wall from HDB will be leading the ministry, and I'll be looking terribly Anglican and slightly hopeless, but it will be the most wonderful time. Do you ever think, oh Lord Jesus, I just wish I had another few minutes. I wish I could get someone to pray for me, but I've got to rush back to work. Well, here's an opportunity to have up to 2 hours, and like everything here, it's come when you can, go when you have to. Do take one of these at the end of the service. They're at the on the table just on the way out. May I read you a few verses from Acts chapter 9? Acts chapter 9 and beginning at verse 10. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. Ananias? Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he's praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, said Ananias, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he's done to your people in Jerusalem. And he's come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument. Proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Communication is one of the most important things in life. To be able to communicate well is absolutely vital in every sphere of life, whether it's at work, with friends, at home. And sometimes there's a tension, isn't it, between not enough information and too much information. The other day I was in a situation where I felt there was just a bit too much information. I'd gone to see a film with a friend who was staying with me in London. He's a good mate. I was his best man. I'm godfather to two of his children. He'd come to stay. He wanted desperately to see this film, which I'd never heard of, but as a good friend, I went along and thought, well, it's only about 2 hours, so anything we can cope with that. So we went to this cinema, which was great, and we were buying the tickets at the door. And he, I thought, rather unkindly said, surely you can get a concession now, which was slightly hurtful, if true. And the lady in the ticket office said, oh, are you over 60? And as I feel about 42 and a half, I was almost tempted to say, no, no, just look it. And I said, you know, it's awful, isn't it, to have to tell you, but I am. Oh, she said, that's great, 15% off. So I said, oh, well, that is actually quite an advantage, as it was rather more expensive cinema than I normally choose to go to if I wasn't going with a great friend. And she said, I don't know how to say this as well. I said, oh, do tell me, I've gone through every barrier now, you know all about me. She said, some of our concession customers aren't always able to sit through the whole film without nipping out for a short break. I said, that's very good. She said, and there are some seats just here which you can sit in if you're likely to be in that category. My friend rather hurt, he said, oh yes, you'll be sitting there. I'll be sitting elsewhere. But now he's so old, we better give him every advantage he can possibly have. So with deep shame, only just comforted by the 15% off, I pottered in to see this film, which actually, to my relief, turned out to be rather good. In that case, there was too much information. I would not have communicated all of that. And perhaps it's true that communication is something that sometimes we spend a lifetime getting right. And certainly my good friend didn't get it entirely right that particular evening. A lifetime getting it right, whether it's with another human being or even with the Lord Jesus Christ. But good communication is the key as a believer to building our trust in the Lord Jesus, as Ananias found out on the day we've just read about. He was clearly someone, though, who heard the Lord Jesus Christ easily. That's clear from verse 10, as we heard. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. Extraordinary, isn't it? He just found it so easy, whereas I don't always find it quite that easy to hear the voice of God. He heard the Lord easily, but actually he was also someone who felt free to be totally honest with the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in verse 13. The Message version of the Bible, in trying to capture the feel of how this conversation started, begins with Ananias saying to the Lord Jesus, you can't be serious. You can't be serious. As if he's saying, I'm happy, Lord, to take the odd risk, but what you're asking me to do is a step too far. The Message version of this particular verse continues in this. Everyone's talking about this man, the terrible things he's been doing, the reign of terror against your people in Jerusalem. And now he's turned up here. It's no wonder Ananias says, you can't be serious, Lord, that you want me to go and see him. But Jesus' reply was utterly unequivocal. Go, he said to Ananias. And whatever his misgivings, Ananias did exactly that. He'd been told enough by the Lord Jesus to persuade him to take the risk that going to see this man Saul was definitely involved. But the Lord Jesus had assuaged some of his concern. We see in verse 11 that Judas, the owner of the house in Straight Street, had probably taken a much bigger risk already in having Saul to stay. In any case, we see in verse 12, Saul had already been prepared in a vision that a man called Ananias would come and see him. And the Lord Jesus is recorded as saying in verse 15 about how absolutely central Saul was going to be in the next stage of his plans in the kingdom of God. So by the time Ananias arrived at that house in Straight Street, we can see how much his attitude had already changed. There was a warmth as he greeted Saul. "Brother Saul," he said. Sensitivity to Saul's blindness as he laid his hands on him when he prayed, "It's me, Saul, Ananias, I'm here," just as the Lord Jesus promised. A boldness too in his prayer that led him not only to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but to regain his sight and his appetite. And all this was because Ananias heard from the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think of Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, and all that he achieved, it started because one man was in the habit of hearing God clearly. Not only hearing him, but engaging with him honestly as well. So much so that eventually he could trust him and do what had been an initially unwelcome task. And as we think about Ananias' experience, and all that flowed from that conversation, we can't help reflecting on how well we each hear the Lord Jesus Christ, how effectively he and we actually communicate. How do I normally hear the Lord Jesus? How can we get better at hearing him? Are we secure enough in our relationship with him that we can be as honest with him as Ananias was? Is our trust in him growing because our communication with him is getting better? Made me think, how clearly do I actually hear God?